the Rick Emerson Show.
You know, when I hear this, I can just picture Scotty rocking like the centipede. Scotty, can you break dance? I bet you tried to break dance at one point. I bet you owned parachute pants, and I bet you wore like a red jacket and tried to break dance. Not anymore. Not anymore. Could you ever? Did you ever break dance? Did you ever try? Did you ever attempt? Did you ever work it? Answer honestly. Don't lie or I'll know. You just tried. You mean just now? Okay, thank you. It's 503-733-2970. Is that Jim Rowe? Well, of course it's not Jim Rowe. There's no one there. There's no one there, Scotty. No, no, no. Sherrod, you are. 503-733. In just a few seconds, we'll be joined by Tim Riley. He's going to bring more news from the Ministry of Truth. Then we've got Jim Roop. Really? Okay, so I'll take these calls, then Tim, then Roop. A couple more of these holdovers from last hour. People are very patient with all of our shenanigans and juvenile inanity. Ken, how can I help you on this fine Wednesday, my friend?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
First of all, Paris Hilton needs a beat down.
That's the opinion of Ken, by the way. That does not necessarily convey the thoughts of anybody here except for Sarah, who agrees with you wholeheartedly and would gladly hold Paris while you beat her.
Sounds good.
I'd film it. All right, yes.
You were talking about coffins at Costco.
Yes, I was.
My sister works at a Costco that used to sell them.
Now, sold them in the store?
In the store.
That's fascinating. I mean,
not all Costco sell them in the store.
Now, just a town where people die a lot?
Yeah, pretty much.
Where was this? Was this in Portland?
No, it was up in Washington.
Was it in Kennewick by any chance?
Pretty close.
There you go. Well, any place where the death rate is substantially higher, say from radiation, that seems like a place where you'd need to have. You know, you can't just sit around. You got to get those radiating bodies in the ground right away.
And you can get them customized too. She said you can get them with like flames on them.
Really? I'm surprised. I do have to tell you this, that we've made a lot of those, the fun of those Kiss caskets. But, you know, Dimebag Darrell from Pantera is buried in one of those. And I really am surprised that George Lucas has not started to create some Star Wars casket. You know what I mean? It seems like it's inevitable. It seems like it's just a matter of time before he does that. So, all right. Thank you, Ken.
No problem.
You spread the word, brother. One more here. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up, brother?
Good afternoon, sir. I think I can answer the question about the breast implants on what you do with them.
Which question was this?
What they're going to do if you cremate them.
If you pass away. Is it true that they just go through with you, or do they just go to a home for flat-chested girls? Where do they go?
Well, unless you're looking for something that caused death or something, they'll just go with you. And if you're cremated with them, they're kind of just going to fry like bacon fat with the old ones.
That's hideous.
Yeah.
That's a hideous thing.
Not right. Much I can do about that. The new ones are saving, though. They kind of put the fire out.
That's okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Now, I like your sort of the laissez-faire sort of what can you do that you just sort of embrace it and you just kind of roll with it. You have a fresh attitude about that. I like that. It's very, very straightforward, Mike. Yeah. The question is, are you spreading the word about this very fine radio program?
Oh, it's on everywhere I deliver. Don't play the sounder.
But no, now it's too late now. I got to do it. Hold on. What do you deliver, sir, if I can ask?
I deliver concrete.
Concrete, fantastic, excellent. Well, Faye, let me see if I can find a. Do I have a some sort of a? No, that's wrong. No, no, no. I don't know. I got nothing. All right, thank you, sir.
Yeah, all right.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We'll have Jim Roop joining us here in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make way for Tim Riley. Can you?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
First up, a senior congressional aide said today he alerted House Speaker Dennis Hassert's office 2 years ago about worrisome conduct. But Mark Foley, now Kirk Fordham, who resigned today, tells the AP that when he was told about Foley's inappropriate behavior toward pages, he had, quote, more than one conversation with senior staff at the highest level of the House of Representatives asking them to intervene, unquote. The conversations took place before the email scandal broke, according to Fordham, and at least a year before members of the House GOP leadership have acknowledged it happened. Well, here's the most unusual story. Dateline, Provo, Utah.
Okay.
It was a kidnapping. That's how Juliana Myers describes the bizarre actions of her parents in trying to keep her from getting married last August. Provo, Utah, police chief Rick Healy says the bride's parents Lemille and Julia Red.
Lemille, that's a completely Utah name, by the way.
Trying to talk Julietta out of getting married.
They did have some reasons. They felt it was in their minds, for some reason, they felt it important enough that they decided that they would take her against her will.
Take her? So this is, one of these things where they take her and put her in a cage somewhere?
Well, the parents asked their daughter to go shopping with them the day before the wedding. Myers, formerly Julietta Red, was planning to marry her fiancé, Perry August.
Perry August is a porn name.
I know. Oh, they forgot a comma. Her fiancé, Perry, on August 5th.
Oh, I see. Not Perry August. Okay.
Yeah, they forgot the comma.
That's like every time. Remember a couple months ago we were talking about that Duke place and it was Duke LaCrosse?
Mm-hmm.
Duke LaCrosse sounds like a porn name. Doesn't that sound like a guy? Duke LaCrosse. And he'd have like really blonde, like absurdly blow-dried and coiffed hair.
Hello, I'm Duke LaCrosse. I'm here to have sex with your family.
Well, instead of the wonderful day of shopping, Healy says her parents instead took her to Grand Junction, Colorado, hundreds of miles away, where they allegedly held her against her will. By the time the trio returned to Provo, Julietta had missed her wedding, and police were investigating her disappearance. Well, Captain Rick Healy said the parents tricked her into going with them.
They were going to take her shopping. She believed that they were going shopping with her, and she got in the car with them to go shopping. They went out, got on the highway, and went south instead of north.
Perrys are going to Wyoming.
It took a while for Myers to realize what had happened.
Hit Interstate 70 in the middle of Utah, and then they went west to Grand Junction. And in the mix of doing that, she was able to determine herself that this was against her will. She tried to get away at one point and wasn't able to.
This isn't the way to Deseret Industries.
You will now press charges against her parents.
The Utah County Attorney's Office has filed the information on the kidnapping charges, and she's been willing to go ahead and testify so that hopefully something can happen.
Here's a question about this. Speaking of these crazy, wasn't that Elizabeth Smart thing in Utah?
Yes.
That crazy blonde girl that supposedly got kidnapped and seemed to be very obviously ran off with somebody. Whatever happened to her? She's vanishing to the sweet bosom of her family, which has never heard from her again.
Did we have on the show that they're making a movie about her?
I think they already did.
No, like Scarlett Johansson.
Really?
Maybe going to play her? Maybe I just read that and we didn't talk about it. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
So, you'd watch that.
I would totally watch that. Here's the thing about that Elizabeth Smart girl. If you remember, she was 16 or whatever, allegedly kidnapped, in my opinion, just crawled out a window, ran off with some other guy, eventually came back. But, I mean, she looks, that family is what every Utah family looks like. I mean, they all, here's the thing about people in Utah. Utah people, they all look like the folks that are in the picture frame when you buy it at Payless. And when you go into like a Fred Meyer and you buy the frame, you're like, who are these? And I really wonder about that. That's a thing I'd watch a 5-minute documentary on. Who are the people in the picture frame at the store? I really do wonder about that. I got a whole lot of ideas rolling around in my head, as you may know. And none of them are really substantive enough to make a 90-minute documentary out of. But here's what I'd like to do, is make a 90-minute documentary that just contains, like, 8-minute documentaries about really small things that you kind of wonder about, but they couldn't really hold up a whole film. Like, who are the guys that record Muzak? That's a thing I've done. I think about that a lot.
I don't think they do that anymore.
They do. Muzak exists.
Oh, yeah, if you go to Barnes & Noble, that's all they play.
And it's in Seattle. It's based in Seattle. And it's broadcast on, used to be on FM subcarriers that they would broadcast right in the store. Because I heard that the guy in Soundgarden, Kim Thayil, who was the guitarist for Soundgarden, was for a while a guitarist for Muzak. And he would sit in a room and he would and he would just play Muzak and then record it. But you know, the thing about Muzak is a guy has to record, write that too. There's somebody out there, there's a guy who has to sit down and write elevator music. Because sometimes, you know, you can get, like, the elevator music. Like, I heard the music version of a Green Day song a while back. And that'll just make you feel weird, man. You know, and I've heard Elevator Kiss and all that stuff. But, I mean, but there's some guy somewhere, some musician, and you know he's a guy with, like, 15 music degrees who really thinks that he ought to be on stage at Madison Square Garden, but he's sitting in a small windowless room writing Muzak. Who is that guy? Here's another thing I think about. I think about some really talented visual, you know, or some really talented graphic artist who has to sit there and write Archie and Jughead comics. You know what I mean? They don't write themselves. It can't all be clip art. There's some guy chained to an easel somewhere writing a Betty and Veronica double date digest that's going to sit on the shelf at Safeway and be read by no one.
Can't they just recycle those and nobody would know?
I don't know. Do you know anybody who reads? Do you know anybody who in the last 50 years has read an Archie comic? No.
I think I read one less than 50 years ago.
Maybe. The only Archie comics I ever... Do you remember this? Because we're all Catholic here, or were. Do you remember this? Do you remember the... Scotty, what religion are you, by the way? And not that it really matters,
Protestant,
but I'm just curious. It, probably, but I bet Protestant in a way that he can't really define. Scott, just not, I'm just expressing curiosity here. Protestant, thank you. Well spotted, Sarah.
I can tell.
He is... He's the waspiest wasp we know.
Well, he has the Protestant work ethic.
If I may ask, Scotty, and this is simply a question that I have one friend to another, you're not obliged to answer this. Do you regularly attend services? No. Okay, you are a wasp. Okay. A C&E. He's a C&E Protestant. Do Protestants celebrate Easter? What do you people do, you Protestants? Yeah, one that once a year. He's a one to two times a year guy. All right. Christmas and Easter, totally. Well, that's my dad, because my dad was a C&E Catholic.
That's what they're called. That's what I've become. My parents make me go on Easter and Christmas.
Do they use that term, the C&E Catholic?
No.
But it's a known thing. Totally.
They know that I am. So is my sister.
It's a known phenomenon. Christmas, you know, and of course when you're a Mormon, you know, there's a phrase of Jack Mormon, which is my wife was a Jack Mormon for a long time. Anyway, was my question. The only Archie comics, and then we'll get back to this thing. The only Archie comics I ever read, they created, and they probably still do, these nutcase versions of the Archie comics that are all God comics. Where it's, because I guess the guy who runs Archie the publications is like some weird zealot. And so they make all of these weird Archie comics where they all, and which is... bizarre when you think that Archie comics are all about a guy in high school who's trying to get two women into bed simultaneously. That really is the whole thrust of that. They don't really come out and say it. But Archie is constantly trying to get it on with Betty and Veronica simultaneously. That's the whole thing. And as everybody knows, Jughead is the queen of King Archie's world. Well, shout out to my...
Why has there never been a live-action sitcom?
Shout out to my peeps there. There was a cartoon. I do believe, Tim Riley.
Yes.
You're gritting. I can see you're setting your jaw to dispute this. This is a look I've come to know on your face. This is like the McGruff look. This is the... That's not the real McGruff expression that you're getting on your face. You are prepared... You are girding yourself to disagree with me on this, but I believe that there was in... the late 40s, early 50s, an Archie, either a television show or a series of Archie films that were live action. Do you agree or disagree? X for the block.
I'll check that to make sure. I'll check IMDb.
Have the news team investigate that.
All right.
What was my point? Oh, yeah, so there's all these Archie comic books where at the end of, no matter what the problem, Archie, your car won't start. Well, let's pray to Jesus. And then Jesus fixes Archie's car, and then Jughead eats a sandwich. Here's Tim Riley.
Have the religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch, and God bless it. Right here on the Rick Emerson Radio program.
Plans to picket funerals of the Amish girls killed by that disturbed man.
Let me guess. Who could it possibly be? Let's see. Who could it possibly be that would picket the funerals of the Amish girls? I'm drawing a blank. I'm thinking of crazy Christians. It sounds like Zid. Id. I'm sensing an F. Is there an F in this? Is it Fid? Frud.
Oh.
Is there a Fred?
There is a Fred in there.
Who could it possibly be, Tim?
Well, it's the Westboro Baptist Church, described as a hate group by the Anti-Defamation League, and made a name for itself, picketing funerals of U.S. troops killed in Iraq. The troops are dying as punishment for America's tolerance of homosexuality.
Homosexuality.
The Westboro group says the Amish schoolgirls were killed by a madman in punishment for Governor Rendell's blasphemous sins against the Westboro Baptist Church.
Okay, I really have to say this. Now, listen to me now. I understand that the Reverend Fred Phelps is not just evil, but also crazy. And this is not excuse, of course. It's completely repellent behavior on every single level of human existence. Now, this guy, you're talking about a guy here, and I'm not saying anything anybody didn't know. All right? This is a guy who picketed the funeral of Matthew Shepard. This is a guy who picketed the funeral of Pedro Zamora. This is a guy who picketed the funerals of American service people who are killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, because it's all coming down because we tolerate homosexuality in America. But really, I think, not that those aren't horrible and repellent and awful things for him to do, because they are. I really believe... When is this happening, the funeral? It's not today, was it?
No, it's not today.
I'm just saying this. I'm just making this observation. All of these things in the past, and we had those guys, God love them, those guys, it was like Hell's Angels or something, because like a lot of biker gangs, because biker gangs are very patriotic. People don't really realize that, but they are. And a lot of those biker gangs who brought those huge flags, and they revved their engines so that the protest couldn't be heard. God bless them. Michael Moore did that great thing. There was Fred Phelps and his idiot band of religious morons showed up at some funeral a couple years ago, and Michael Moore did this great thing where he had a bright pink Winnebago that he called the Sodomobile. And he just came there, and he parked the Sodomobile right between Fred Phelps and the funeral, and had a bunch of greased up men gyrating on top in Speedos. It was fantastic. And finally, Fred Phelps was like, screw this, and he packed up his crap and he got out. So Fred Phelps is an evil, hateful, horrible bigot who really ought to die alone, covered in sores somewhere. And I'm saying that right now from the heart of my bottom. I really do believe that. All of that aside, and all of those hideous, repellent, horrible, repugnant, completely indefensible, vile, evil acts, I'm telling you this, that if that idiot group goes through with picketing at an Amish funeral, that's going to be it for them. Somebody's going to deal with them. Somebody is going to deal with them as they ought to be dealt with. And I'm not saying that that should happen. I'm not advocating it. God forbid. It would be wrong for anybody to finally just resolve the issue with that church and its insane bigoted leader. I'm not saying that anybody should do that. I am simply speculating my position as a pundit and journalist here. That I think there's certain things that there's a limit beyond which you cannot push it, even if you are a known idiot, evil bigot. And I think picketing an Amish funeral, that will not stand, as somebody once said. You do that, you got to be looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life, because somebody's going to decide to just get that taken care of. And you know what? If you're high profile enough and you pull enough crap like this, you'll be taken care of. Somebody will decide to do that. It's wrong. I'm not saying it should happen. And I, of course, do not believe that violence is any kind of a solution. And I disdain and disparage and cannot endorse or promote any such activity. I'm just saying. There's things you do. There's things you do in this universe, and there's ways that you push where somebody decides to finally push back. That's all I'm saying. All right, so there you go. So Fred Phelps, man of God, picketing Amish funerals. There you go. There's your religious nutcase. Watch for... Should we talk to Jim Robles? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show, live from the City of Angels. CNN radio correspondent James Roop. How are you, sir?
I am well. Good afternoon, sir.
How's life in Southern California, my friend? Are you keeping your way? Keeping warm? I got out of bed this morning, and I do this because I try to bicycle to work because I'm trying not to be Fatty McFatterstein. It's not really working out.
And by try, he means thinks about it for a little while and then gets in his car.
By trying, I mean failing. And I have this moment of agony sometimes where and this is just going to get worse with every passing week as we head into the cold bosom of winter, that I stand in the living room some mornings and I got the hot cup, and I don't drink, I have a hot cup of tea in the morning. I'm a very routine oriented guy. I don't start drinking the coffee till I get here, but in the morning I get up, I have the mug of tea, and I stand there and I'm in my boxer shorts in my kitchen looking out the window, and I will see either rain or sleet or hail or fog or mist or scum or grime, or quite often some a combination of the above. And I will think about two things. And it's like, you get the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. I will get the bicycle on one shoulder. And then I will get my new car that has ass warmers. It has those heated seats on the other shoulder.
Yeah, I got one of those, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And it's, especially if I walk out front to get the mail, the papers, that you walk out and you kind of go, whoo, and you feel that chill. And it just becomes so hard to get on the bicycle sometimes. It becomes so very, very hard. And that's when I think of you, Jim Roop, who lives in southern Los Angeles. You live in Southern California where you don't ever have, you don't have this. You know, how cold does it get there?
Well, sometimes I have to wear a sweater to walk the dog. I mean, it gets cold.
Oh, bitch. See, can I just tell you this? When I lived in Southern California, which is not for a long time, but I mean, when I lived there, it was, I worked, and this is, I remember this happened in like, God, this was in like August. I was working at a 7-Eleven, because, you know, that's what you do half the time when you're on radio. And I'm there, and it's like, yeah, I'm working like the midnight shift or whatever. Guy comes in, and he's like, and he's coming up to the counter with like some beer or whatever, and like a Duraflame log. And I said, I asked him, I said, sir, if you don't mind, why are you buying a Duraflame log? It's a fireplace log. And he goes, and he looked at me as though I was high. And he goes, because it's cold. And he walked out, and I looked over at the thermometer, and it was 74 degrees. You all, I'm telling you, man, global, you better hope that global warming comes through, because if there's ever any sort of a new ice age or glaze, you guys are going to be the first to go. You're effed down there.
No kidding. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that there's, it's just weather wimps out here.
Yeah,
like when it drizzles or rains, they can't drive. When it gets cold, they complain.
Yeah, no, it's...
Hey, I'm from Ohio, man. I know about cold.
Oh, now see, Ohio, you get real winters out there. Ohio, no screwing around, man. That's winter. That'll kill you. That's like Donner Party winter.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Well, okay. Hey, we kind of covered all of the spinach news yesterday, and really, how much spinach news could there ever be in one day?
Except today, the Fed served search warrants at Natural Selection Foods.
Oh.
Because they want to determine whether they knew... there were some unclean standards that were going on. They just want to make sure that they didn't know that they were putting bad product out before it actually left.
I got to tell you, man, this is a bad week for trying to cover something up that people may have known about for a long time.
Yeah.
Every time this week that somebody tries to cover something up that everybody else has known about for a year, it ends poorly for that person. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was there some photo op this morning where there was some California congressman who got on camera to eat a bunch of spinach, and then he couldn't...
That was yesterday.
And it says here, and he was going to make reporters eat it. Congressman who was going
to... He was going to feed it to reporters. He was going to eat some himself, but he couldn't find any to buy. None of the local stores in Central California were selling it.
Ugh, Jesus. So, anyway. So, it's a whole natural selection. This is one of those things where they... I mean... That's going to prison for a long, long time if you're knowingly selling tainted food. That's not a whole lot of, like, we promise not to do it anymore.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean, Hewlett-Packard got popped today. Natural Selection is going to get popped here, it looks like. So you're right, man. This seems to be the day that if you have some, or the week, rather, that if you've ever been covering anything up, you better come clean now or they're going to come clean for you.
That's the thing. They're going to find you and you're going to spend the rest of your time in a small little room, with a guy who pokes you with a stick. That's pretty much going to be it.
You better hope it's a stick.
I have nowhere to go from there. Oh, God. You know, and I told Laura that we wanted to talk. Was it Laura today? Sarah?
It's
probably.
Yeah. Well, here's how I could tell it was Laura today, because Sarah hung up the phone and just sort of did like a sort of a shudder after the phone call.
You're not supposed to tell him that.
Oh, like he doesn't know. We've talked about it like 100 times with him. Jim, you know it's just between us.
Just between us, sir.
Yes. I'm just saying we have talked about how we operate in a time crunch a lot of times in the morning, largely because of me, because I'm always running late. And so I will give Sarah sort of the prepared CNN stuff, like 2 minutes before we're supposed to go on the air. And Sarah will call. And, you know, I'm glad. Let me just say this. There's somebody for everybody in this world. And I'm glad that Laura Caviezel has found her life partner, I'm glad for that, and I'm glad there needs to be happiness in the world, but we don't necessarily need to know every place that she's registered and every kind of pattern that she needs to be, to
have. She doesn't do that anymore. She's copped an attitude more than anything else.
But I think she doesn't do it anymore because I think someone took her aside and finally was like, ixnay. This is my theory. So let's pretend this whole part of the conversation never happened. Anyway, Jim, so Anywho, I had told her that we want to talk about school safety, but you know what? I just don't. I'm just worn out. I'm worn out. It's been a bad day full of bad things happening to good people, and you know, and you, your schools are screwed anyway. There's nothing you can do down there, right? So I mean,
that's true.
Why should I talk to you about school safety? It's L.A. Everybody's effed. There's nothing you can do.
Oh yeah, I mean that's one of the things is you know, we have earthquake drills and terrorism drills and guns on campus drills.
Yeah, I mean,
now, what they do.
There's really nothing you can do about it. I mean, that's the thing, and I don't mean to sound, we were talking earlier about it, I don't mean to sound fatalistic or like a nihilist, you know, which it's senseless and pointless, but I mean, you know, you just can't protect yourself against a crazy guy with a grudge. There's just no doing it.
That's exactly what the police are saying. Look, we'll do everything we can, but if some nut's going to go on campus with a gun or some idiot student's going to bring one, once it gets on campus, not a whole lot we can do about it.
And, you know, what people don't really realize is, you know, Woody Allen said that, you know, that about 80% of life comes down to luck. And people don't like to say that, but I make my own luck. Well, you know, about 80% of your life is just happenstance and things happening in the right order. And people don't like to think that. You know what? Really, the fact of the matter is the only reason any of us are still walking around is because we just had the good luck not to live next to a guy who woke up on the wrong side of the bed and had an automatic weapon. I mean, there's really nothing you can do to protect yourself against the nutty. It's just not a thing you can do.
So, you're right.
Anyway. All right. Well, you know, we'll try to find something cheery to talk about in the next few days.
Okay.
I don't really know that it's going to happen, but we'll fabricate cheery news if we have to. Hey, Old Spice is coming back. Right
Old
here.
Spice?
Old Spice, and wait for it, High Karate.
You're kidding.
I got the news right here. I'll read
it to you. The original fragrances?
I will. You know, here's the thing. Here's Jim Roop. There's a little incentive. The next time we speak, wherever, whenever that may be, are you on tomorrow?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So tomorrow, I will tell you about Old Spice and High Karate.
Well, all right, then.
That's here, the Rick Emerson Show. That's what we call a guarantees. I will give that to you the next time we speak, my friend.
I can't wait.
See, no matter what happens in your life, you know that I've got a story about Old Spice and Brute just waiting for you.
No, it'd be worth waking up tomorrow morning.
It's what I do, my friend. I'm trying to give you a little golden ray of sunshine to look forward to.
You're a giver, man.
All right, we should end this now. Thank you, Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks.
Jim Roop, live from Los Angeles. We'll break. We'll be back.
Underneath.
There you go.
Mary Jo accepted.
Here's the Dry County Crooks, by the way. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Hello. All right, so Rick Emerson, the radio program. It's 503-733-2970. So I got to put this High Karate story away for tomorrow. Jen Lane in with us tomorrow, by the way. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine in tomorrow. Friday, Aaron Geek in the City. Duran will be in for Scott Daly, who will not be here. Oh, you know, I still haven't talked about The Departed either. Let's see. Oh, man, I got the... This is funny. I swear to God, this is a real story. This is tied into our implant story earlier. Dalen Berlin, a German plastic surgeon who was cheated out of payment by several women, has given pictures of their enlarged breasts to police in hopes that the photos will help trace them. The woman registered under fake name, said Michael Koenig, a surgeon in Cologne. After all, is that, am I pronouncing that right? Do you pronounce it Cologne,
yes.
Germany?
Mm-hmm.
After the operation, which lasted about an hour, they just ran away. Tanya went out for fresh air after a $10,000 surgery to enlarge her breasts. She never came back and never paid. The Bild newspaper published a 5-column picture of Tanya's naked breasts. It's the most unusual wanted poster we've ever given the police. Judy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, hi, Rick. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
I just called to remind you that Geeks are still alive. There is a show coming up in a couple of weeks called Ugly Betty, and the producer of the show was just on a couple nights ago and directly attributed it to the Archie comic.
Really? Is that true?
It is true.
And Ugly Betty is that so-called telenueva thing, the girl with the braces?
It is. And, it's you know, he talked a little bit about how it's going to evolve. And if you look, you'll see the Jughead character, Aaron Reggie, and even Moose.
Fair enough. All right. Well, shows what I know. So now, do you yourself still read the Archie comics?
Yes.
Really? Now, if I can ask an indelicate question, may I ask how old you are?
31.
Younger than I am, sister. Quit your whining.
But, you know, High Karate and Old Spice and Brute, oh, yes, the smell of every uncle you never wanted near you. But thanks for that memory.
Smells like a little pine tree out of an old Cadillac. All right, thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Judy. What an adorable little voice she had. Hello. That was my impression of Judy's uncle. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley. Sure, why not?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Whenever this plays, I just picture you on top of a huge podium that's like 500 feet in the air, looking down at the assembled minions.
I do. At least I think of it that way. A woman has been charged with sexual assault after an altercation with a flight attendant on an airplane flying from Charlotte to London. The woman got into an argument with a male flight attendant about a U.S. Airways flight. During the altercation, she grabbed his buttocks.
Oh, all right.
When the plane landed, they charged one woman disrupting a flight and sexual abuse.
All right, I thought that was going a whole different way. All right.
A Portland nightclub disc jockey wounded after shooting himself.
Attention, Scotty J.
The DJ was working at Club 205 in Southeast Stark near Mall 205.
Oh, I've been there.
Now, he had a gun in his pocket for some unknown reason. Maybe it was a rough crowd. And somehow shot himself in the leg at 7:30.
It's a rough crowd.
Yeah. Is it a strip joint? Scotty's typing the word strip joint on the screen.
Yes. It's
Club 205 dancers on the sign there.
Oh, I see. There
it's right under Mall 205.
So maybe they're dangerous gals.
Uh-huh.
I went on that with the Stripperama tour.
Stripperama.
It was ridiculous. It's one of... If you have some time, you should go check it out.
The Stripperama or 205?
Well, the Stripperama tour was awesome, but 205 had some of the most interesting-looking women I've ever seen.
Okay, now you can't just say that and then not elaborate.
They were
easy to dive?
Yes.
Okay, to dive.
Oh, there were seasoned pros.
Not that we have anything against dives, by the way.
No.
I love dives.
I have to say, these women stood out among all the rest of the women.
They were older. Okay, let me ask you this. I don't even know what that was. Here's what Sarah just did. She just put her hands together.
Okay, maybe you don't want...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, really?
Yes.
I just figured out what you were indicating there.
Yeah.
Damn.
It was distracting.
Let me ask you this.
And you have to walk around them. There wasn't a rail or anything.
So Club 205, is this in your stripping career, not yours, but in a stripping career, do you go there before or after working at Mary's?
I'd say probably after.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you go there before or after?
And I'm sure there are many beautiful girls that work there, they just weren't working on the night I was there. Yeah.
Do you go there before or after working at Dino's?
During. No, I'm just kidding, I don't know.
Jesus. Okay. Jesus. Okay, there we go. Scotty, have you ever DJed there? No? Okay. Here you go. Here's Tim Riley.
So if you do, I guess you want to bring a gun because there are plenty of tough dames in there.
Okay. And is it a working class crowd, one might say?
Salt of the earth.
All right. No, those are my people. That's where that's where some of us live anyway.
It's very small.
Oh, I see. Well, is it bigger than Mary's? Smaller than Mary's?
Smaller than Mary's.
Smaller than Mary's.
If you ever drive by, it's like a little shack.
Oh,
that's
I see.
A love shack.
And it's the bars on top.
I think the last word of that phrase is shack, anyway.
Yeah, then the middle is like the little dancing area, and then there are like folding tables around.
Oh, no, really?
I'm pretty sure this
is an intimate venue.
Yes.
Is it like that place? What's that place we went to downtown with Greg Glover?
Okay, so I'm thinking of either Mall 205. Am I thinking of Club 205 or else there's one called like the back swing or the back door swing or something?
The back door swing?
I might be getting those two confused.
Does the back door swing both ways?
I think it did at that place.
Okay.
Scotty, have you ever been invited to perform at this
institution?
Before
we do the...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Thank you.
How can I help you, Scotty?
I just have to jump in on this. I don't advocate going on the strip tour. And
yes, you do.
Like
we advocate it. We advocate going on the Stripperama bus tour.
Okay,
do it now.
The Club 205 is a large place, very large place, and I would say the girls are there before they go to Mary's.
Have you been to Mary's?
Are you familiar with strip clubs?
I'm pretty much familiar with everyone in town.
Oh, God.
Which is not anything to be, proud about, but...
Nuts!
We used to have
You're an adult. You're a grown man.
We used to have a tour that I did with my own friends, and I was like the ringleader of it all. It was kind of funny.
Were these real
friends? So am I thinking of the back? Am I thinking of the back door?
That one is the small place.
Okay, then I'm sorry.
Are you
like
really cardboard just table. Say that?
I was like, you know.
Am I thinking of the back door when that's the small place?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
What caliber of gun would be necessary for that establishment?
Well, the back.
Attention advertisers.
The back one, you probably want to have a gun, but the 205 one's pretty safe, I would say.
Oh, you and Greg and I went to Magic Gardens, which is my favorite strip club.
You know, I don't know about that place.
Now, I was asking, we went to Attention. This is before an Entercom event. It was like, remember that was the Entercom staff meeting?
Oh, yeah, and everyone was so drunk.
And everybody, and Alan, our former program director, Alan came out in a blonde wig, not at the strip club, but at the meeting. And that was the meeting where they instituted the phrase "turn it up."
Yeah, and we got the pens,
and then
they fired us.
Oh yeah, no. And I still got it hanging inside my closet at home. In my closet, I have a big walk-in closet where I keep books, and I have a bunch of posters of it. I hung that Entercom thing where it's like integrity. Turn yours up to 11. They had that, and it was like a month later they fired us. Yeah, so you and I and Greg Glover, Sarah, had gone to Magic Gardens, which is.
Because I wanted you guys to be friends so desperately.
It was like
really had nothing in common.
It was sort of like because that was when Sarah was doing mornings on 94.7 with Greg, who's still there doing a great job, by the way. I listened the other day. My wife listens to that station in the morning. He's doing his thing. Not really my taste, but doing a thing. So you would do the show with him in the morning, and then us in middays, and you like desperately wanted us to be pals because it was this awkward sort of.
Oh, because you were jealous of him.
I wasn't jealous of him as such. Let's clarify. It's a discussion for a different time. But we went there, and I was impressed because Magic Gardens had they had Iggy Pop on the jukebox, which is pretty cool. And then he and I bonded.
Greg can drink. He can throw a few back.
Yeah, he could.
The question
throw
is,
a few dollar bills down too.
Boy,
that guy's not shy. If you're, never mind. I was just gonna say that if you were a dancer, you could do worse than to have that guy as a customer.
Is that place even around anymore? Because I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I was just there last week.
Really? Mm-hmm. Do you frequent strip clubs a lot?
No, not a lot, but I just happened to... I don't know. I was at a show at Satyricon, and then we wanted to go to a place with cheap, strong drinks, and that was right around the corner.
I mean, I think if I was a guy who went... Because I don't, I go home and stay home. But if I wasn't... I mean, like Mary's, for example. It's like a cool place. If I was a guy who went out there, that Mary's a place, it'd be hangout. You know, Magic Gardens, cool, casual
cool
environment, whatever. I just don't know a lot about strip clubs. I'm no Scotty J.
I'd like to try that.
Does Mrs. J accompany you on any of your strip club crawls?
Once in all these years. But all I can say is...
Listen to the bitter longing in the voice. That's like when you ask him, so does your wife?
Mm-mm, yeah.
Well, once... All these years.
Yeah. the Barfly.
Love and marriage.
Tour. It does sound like fun, though. I'd like to try that one of these days.
You just missed it. It was last weekend.
I know.
You were too busy at Pat Benatar.
Give you time to get a gat. Why are you showing more chest hair today? You know, that does...
Don't make me.
That shirt does zip all the way up.
Don't make me.
It zips
it
further. It does zip further.
I need to interrupt you real fast just to let people know about the... contest for the...
What contest?
For the Foley Limerick, which is going to be revealed tomorrow. So, got to kind of let them know what you're doing.
Yes, thank you, Scotty.
And the Sounder Friday.
So, here's the thing. So, thank you. So, stay here for a second. No. All right, you got to help me keep... Because this is more work. See, here's the thing. Is now that you're an actual employee, I don't feel bad doing things that are going to be a lot of work for you. Not that I really felt bad about it before, but I had to pretend before that I felt bad. I had to feign like I cared.
And now he gets financially compensated for it.
I had to feign
concern.
I'm going
to open up a CD with all this money.
Okay, so there's two different things. We have Tim Conway and Harvey Korman tickets. Now, we got two pairs.
Right.
We're going to do this two different ways. We're going to give away a pair tomorrow. And by the end of tomorrow's program, we're going to pick a limerick. We need a Mark Foley limerick. There once was a page on the hill, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
There once was a, I guess, I don't know if it was there, whatever. But you know what a limerick is. And we're going to hold you to the meter, too. So by the end, so all day tomorrow, we're going to be taking Mark Foley limericks. At the end of tomorrow's show, We will take the best Mark Foley limerick. You will win a pair of tickets to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. Now. That's but only the first
preferably
part.
Preferably send them to Rick at rickemerson.com.
So but you can also call in, by the way, even though that's going to require that Scotty keep track of every single person who submits one along with their name and phone number.
I believe that would probably be a better way to keep track.
Yeah.
Well, it's easier to kind of print them all off in the morning, too, if we have them all.
Which is also easy.
I think now that he's an employee, he's getting a little lazy.
I think somebody's work ethic has dried up. You know, it would do you good to work.
I just know that sitting and writing down every single word to a limerick while they're on the
phone. You should have seen when we didn't have call screening software and we had to run from one room to the other with sticky notes. You don't even know.
You should see when Sarah actually had to screen the phones and deal with the CNN people and book guests and provide all the scintillating.
No, this was back in, you've seen me do it like once or twice, but that was when we had to do it all the time.
Has Laura always been there?
Yes.
I'm just saying, Scotty, that this is what would be easier for us is if you just did the work. So that's how we're going to do it. So tomorrow we will take Mark Foley limericks, and at the end of the program tomorrow, the best Mark Foley limerick wins a pair of tickets. And then, of course, and then we got a break here. But and then at the end of the week, we're doing a second pair, and the second pair is for the best Foley watch sounder. And so you must send that to me as an MP3. Don't send us a wave. Don't send an AUG file or some crap. Send that to me as an MP3. Foley watch sounder. Send that to Rick at rickemerson.com. The best Foley watch sounder. That'll win the second pair of tickets to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman.
We'll play him on Friday, kind of like you did with the other
guy. Yeah, we'll pick him up by the end of Friday's show.
All right.
Thank you, Scotty J. All right, there you go. All right, do we have to break?
Yeah.
All right, are we done with the news, do you think?
No.
Okay.
Well, let's do one more quick one.
We'll take a short break, and then we can finish up with the news.
Okay, because we have one more that we got to get to.
This is a very short break.
All right, so we'll take a very short break. We'll come back, a little more news, and then Tim will vanish into the night. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Impressive, by the way. That was 20 seconds. That's better than my time.
And I washed my hands.
We were a morning show. This will be the time where I'd institute a bathroom Olympics. It's 5:03.
We've already done that.
Have we?
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
We timed me to see how fast I could get from the studio to the bathroom.
I'm talking like as a competition where we train.
We are just a cheesy morning show.
Yes, we are. Okay. Thank you so much for that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's Rick Emerson radio program. Oh, let's talk. Okay.
Let me, hold on. This is the story we want to read because I teased it. Sarah, don't read ahead. Don't read ahead.
I'm not listening.
Don't read ahead. And then we'll talk to mailman Chris, who wants to update us about life in Montana. Then we'll check in with, and we'll have Chris here to check in with mailman's daughter, Mary, which sounds like the beginning of a limerick, who will tell us, blah, 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 blah. All right, Tim Riley, okay, so here's what I teased at the beginning of the show. Someone you hate gets hit in the face. Done and done. We didn't get and will not get to Don't Mess with Bees. But, of course, let's all brace ourselves, kids. Shall we gird ourselves for this news, which we knew was coming? Now, this is only the first shoe. This is not the second shoe. The second shoe may or may not happen in 6 months or so. Here's shoe number one. Go.
A late-night sketch comedy show is sinking, and this time Horatio Sands, Chris Parnell, and Finesse Mitchell can't take the fall. On Monday night, the Saturday Night Live-inspired Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip fell to a series low of 8.9 million viewers. Studio 60, NBC's most hankball show without football pads, had a decent enough September 19th premiere, when the Alan Sorkin Hatch Matthew Perry-led series was sampled by 13.4 million. But the show has been down every week since, shedding 4.5 million viewers along the way. Far from giving up on the SNL concept, NBC will roll out still another SNL-inspired series, the sitcom 30 Rock,
October 11th. Note how there's no statement from CBS that they're standing behind the Sorkin show. Their response is, oh, no, but we've also got this Tina Fey show.
That's an NBC show, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. I'm not saying they're going to cancel it.
Wow, Rick, way to end the show on a high.
I'm sorry, I meant to get to it earlier. I'm just saying, watch it while you can. I'm not saying they're going to, you know, who knows? Look, The Office is tanking. And they're standing behind that. God bless them. The Office, the secret, which, by the way, I've really come around on because I didn't really, it's not that I didn't like it, but I was nonplussed by it when it first came on. The Office, though, is tanking. I mean, it's got terrible ratings. Because Americans are stupid.
Well, they need to give Studio 60 a better time slot because sometimes I'm tired and I don't want to stay up till 10 p.m.
10 o'clock.
Yeah, because you're not in bed until past 11.
You know, and the thing is, despite Aaron Sorkin's claim, Aaron Sorkin has said something repeatedly that actually one of his characters said recently, which is the people he's, you know, where she says, I believe the people who watch TV are at least as smart as the people who write TV. Not true most of the time. Most people in this country are goddamn dumb. And so it's just, you know, that, can I just tell you this? And I'll say this right now, and I, you know, and I know you're not a football fan, so I'm not expecting you to watch it, but I got to tell you, I watch Friday Night Lights, man, and it's so good. It's so good. Not good for you. It's not for everybody. But I mean, it's, and you know, me, I don't even care about sports. I'm not a sports fan. But I'm telling you, man, if you saw the movie, if you read the book, or if you just like, and Picard loved it too. But here's the thing. I'm not going to tell you to watch it because it's not going to be around long enough. Even if I was going to tell you to watch it, there's no point because it's going to be gone. Laura and I were watching it last night, and it's just, it's so good. It's just such a great, great show. Not going to save the world. A great show, though. But we paused it about halfway through, and we're like, you know, this will never last. America doesn't want to watch it because it's too dark, and it's a very cynical program, and it takes a very dark look. It has a dark view of sports and of small towns and of Red State America. It's very much a dim view of that stripe of America.
Okay.
If you live in a tiny little town like that.
You can just watch the 17th season of American Idol.
Yeah, seriously. That's, yeah. Yes. So, anyway. So watch Friday Night Lights, or don't. But, I mean, you know, you blink and you're going to miss it because they're going to pull the plug on that thing. It's going to happen. Ugh, God. Well, see, and Scotty's saying they're playing Studio 60 on a bad night. I don't think that that's it.
Man, isn't a bad night.
No, it's not a bad night.
It's the time that's killing me.
Maybe, but I mean, I suppose.
I watched Heroes for the first time last week. This week. Have you seen that?
No.
The night before. It was really interesting.
Really, I had mixed reviews. Ryan liked it across the hall. Our friend Seamus said that he didn't care for it. I haven't heard what Aaron
said. It's absolutely bizarre.
It is
the weirdest show I've ever seen.
Worth watching?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. Now I have a 2-hour chunk of time out of my life on Monday night.
Yeah, so I'm not saying they'll cancel Studio 60. Who knows? Maybe they'll stand behind it. I'm just saying it is all of your fears come to life that it's a great, great, great show. And so, of course, you know, the vast majority of Americans are choosing to watch something moronic at the same time. Let's real quickly here, and I apologize, we're kind of under the gun time-wise here. Speaking of under the gun.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, how's life in Montana, sir?
Well, it's in Montana.
Well, okay, that kind of says all you really need to say about that.
You know, class is over. It's 4 o'clock here. Class is over, and there's 8 bars in this town. So,
you know what? You go to a place like that, Wyoming, same way. Just bars everywhere. So, all right. Well, you want to hang? Listen in here. Is that mailman's daughter Mary gives us the review?
You know.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say Heroes. I definitely give it a thumbs up.
Really?
I've watched the first 2 episodes. I thought it was very good.
It's sort of like an Unbreakable kind of thing, right? Average ordinary people realize that they have superpowers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's NBC's answer to Law.
Yeah, it's really kind of graphic and creepy.
Mysterious. Yeah, that second episode was very graphic.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe they could show that on television.
Oh,
that was
see,
really
now you're
going
to make me watch. Well, the good thing about that is, like Studio 60 and I think Friday Night Lights, I think they encore that stuff on Bravo. I think there's an NBC Bravo agreement where it airs on if this is an NBC
show. And they have it on NBC.com, too.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they have all the
streaming,
episodes on there.
Stream, you can't download it, but it's streaming video. You can watch it for free on NBC.com.
Okay. All right. It's cool. So, yeah. So try to check out, I guess, Heroes, Studio 60. And I would say if you liked the movie at all, check out Friday Night Lights. Because it's, by the way, written and directed by Peter Berg, who did Friday Night Lights, the movie. So it's a great thing. Mary, what do we got? What do we not?
Okay. I'll try to make this quick.
Thank you.
Did not get the D's. Band-Aid.
Oh.
Watch.
That should be on Sarah.
Not on me.
It's your segment.
You said it.
I didn't say it. You said
shoving
me
off.
That's a lie. That is a goddamn lie.
You're
the one
who's neglectful of my baby.
Here's my impression of the beginning of the show, Sarah. And Band-Aid. I finally did it. It's ready.
I do it every day.
And yet.
And you ignore it.
I ignored it a little bit. All right. Where are we?
Okay. And then no Whitney and no Florida watch. So between 3 and 4, depending on.
I say 3. I say
I'll
round
say
down.
Three.
You
I'll
round down. Yes, okay. So where that brings us to what? Like 49?
Something like that, yeah.
Thank you.
I've,
excellent.
I've got it down.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you, Mary.
No problem.
All right. There you go. That's
Mary.
Should bring
Chris back on
Mary.
To find out the real number.
Chris, 49, sent right to you?
I don't think so. You were at like 59 when I left. Did you do any push-ups yesterday?
No.
Yes. Hundreds? No.
So, it was still a little weak from Friday.
I put you back above 60, so.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to end this call now, Chris. When are you back in town, sir?
I'm flying back in Sunday, so I'll be calling into you guys on Monday.
All right. We'll.
And in my drinking tonight, I'll see if I can find a limerick. He's from Florida, right?
He is. He was the congressman from Florida. No, he was the congressman. No.
Okay. Well,
all right.
That shoots down a couple ideas.
Well, what can you do? All right, my friend. Enjoy the drinking, and we'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, there you go. Mailman Chris. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop, Bob Costantini, Jen Lane in tomorrow, and Aaron Duran in for Scott Daly on Friday. So you want to keep listening. We got Like Us next, Don and Mike at 7. 70 Miller tomorrow, 6 to 10, and so forth. Rick Emerson Show produced today and here today with the lovely and talented Sarah Stillen for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Rye, the news director. Our PA is Scotty J. And the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is Dave Zinn. As always, don't let the bastards run you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See you tomorrow. Bye. And Mary.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.